We turn now to the form for the administration of baptism found on page 86 in the back of the Psalters. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, in so much that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him, and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, Genesis 17, verse 7, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, Acts 2, verse 39, For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then, baptism is come in the place of circumcision. Therefore, infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to arise and answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testament, and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. And thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see this child, when come to the years of discretion, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause him to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. Mr. and Mrs. Kyler Hosford, what is your answer?
Yes.
Mason Kyler, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. With gratitude to God, we will sing Psalter number 425, stanzas 4 and 5. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee through the same Son of thy love that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. We thank thee, Father, that on this day of rest we may come together in thy courts in order to worship thee in the sacrament of baptism, as well as in the singing of thy songs and in the preaching and hearing of thy word and in the giving of our offerings and in prayer unto thee. And truly, Father, this is for us a refuge, and truly this is a day of rest. For we find that our earthly sojourn is fraught with much peril. We find that there is a great weariness that attends our way, the weariness of our own sin, so that day by day we are convicted anew of the depths of our depravity and see that even in those moments when we think ourselves to be standing and think ourselves to be strong, then we find we are weak and find that in ourselves and of ourselves there is no good thing, and that all of our hope and all of our life is in thee and in thee alone. We find that there is also, attending our earthly sojourn, the weariness of opposition and the weariness of the words that men speak that cut and wound. We beseech thee, Father, in our walk that thou wilt sustain us. And we thank thee for this day, a day of rest, an oasis in the midst of our earthly sojourn and in the midst of our wilderness, where we may throughout the day meditate upon thee and upon thy word, where we may be assembled together by the Spirit of our Lord, who has called us to come together before thy face. And when we may hear thy word read and proclaimed to us, and hear the voice of our Savior, and hear the blessed gospel of forgiveness in his blood, and hear the assured promise that thy church shall be victorious, for our Lord himself is victorious and has been vindicated by thee in his death and resurrection for our sin. We pray, Father, then, that thou wilt nourish us and strengthen us in this day. We pray that thou wilt give to us a time of spiritual rest and refreshment, that we may be strengthened in thy word. Be with thy servant who brings thy word. Wilt thou give to him thy word to speak and not his own? We pray, Father, that thy word may roar through our hearts and break down all of our stubborn wickedness and all of our iniquity, that our hearts may be broken before thee with the knowledge of our own sin, and that we may be bound up with the balm of the gospel of our Lord, in whose wounds we find all manner of consolation. We pray that thou wilt sanctify thy servant's lips, that he may not bring the emptiness and vanity that is his by nature, but that he may bring the fullness and richness and completeness of the gospel of our Lord, which is thine and thine alone. We pray, Father, that thou wilt cause that word to fall upon hearts prepared by thee, by thy Spirit, that we may hear with circumcised ears, that our ears may not be closed, that our hearts may not be hard, but that thou wilt cause us to hear and believe and rejoice in the things that are spoken. Remember us as a congregation also in all of our way. We thank thee, Father, that Homer was able to return home from the hospital last week, and that in the last few days Samuel and Owen have also been able to return to their home. and leave the hospital and be in the home with father and mother. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt continue to bless and keep that family. Wilt Thou strengthen them in the busyness of life? And wilt Thou give them grace to raise their boys in the fear of Thy name? And give all of us who are parents that grace, that day by day we may teach and instruct our covenant seed. We thank Thee also, Father, for bringing to our midst Mrs. Moore. We thank Thee also for bringing Mr. and Mrs. Blyenberg and their family to our midst. We thank Thee for these members and pray Thy blessing upon them in our fellowship together. We pray that Thou wilt continue to knit us together as a congregation as we come from many different places and through many different pathways. As some of us are well known to one another, as some of us are relative strangers to each other, and yet, Father, united in the faith and truth of our Lord, united in the gospel of our Savior, we pray that Thou wilt knit us together as a congregation. We grant us that we may be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ, and that we may with one mind and one mouth glorify Thee, even Thee, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And grant us grace that we may receive one another, as Christ also received us to Thy glory. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt be with those who yet consider what their calling is and where they must be members. Wilt Thou give to them understanding? Wilt Thou teach them Thy will and Thy way? We pray that Thou wilt build in their hearts a settled conviction of their calling, so that no man may coerce them one way or the other, but that Thy Spirit convicts them according to the truth. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt preserve Thy people, that Thou wilt preserve them from all lies and all false doctrine and teaching. We pray that Thou wilt found Thy church upon the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. We pray that Thou wilt also remember us in this week as we meet together for a prayer meeting and a congregational meeting. Wilt Thou guide us in our voting with regard to property? In this too, Father, we see that Thou art providing for us. We pray that Thou wilt give us grace to receive these things from Thy hand, if it is Thy will that we receive them, and also that our hearts not be set upon all of the earthly form and all of the earthly things, but that we may from the heart love Thee and serve Thee and worship Thee. We pray that Thou wilt bless us also in preparations for the training of men for the ministry of the gospel. Wilt Thou lay upon the hearts of men to consider whether Thou art calling them to that ministry. We pray that Thou wilt use the Greek class that will begin soon for the training of another generation of ministers to go forth and to say, "Thus saith the Lord." We pray that Thou wilt remember all of Thy people in their struggles and needs in this day. We remember before Thee again Reverend Langerak and his family. Wilt Thou sustain them and keep them in Thy care? Wilt Thou show the way clearly to them? We pray, Father, that Thou wilt preserve him in the unjust and unrighteous attack upon him. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt preserve Thy people in the midst of persecution. And we pray that Thou wilt forgive our sins, for when we look around and consider all men, and then we consider ourselves, we confess, Father, that we are the chief of sinners, and that all other men, however vile and wicked they may appear, are not as sinful outwardly as we know ourselves to be inwardly. We confess, Father, that we are vile, our nature is corrupt. We bemoan our iniquity and are sorry for it, and beseech Thee that Thou wilt forgive us in the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for Him, for His perfect atonement. Thank Thee for the wonderful salvation Thou hast wrought by Him, so that we, who by nature are guilty and dead, have been made by Thee innocent and righteous, having justified us and having been made alive. having regenerated us. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy salvation of us sinners. We pray that Thou will bless our worship now to the glory of Thy name. Wilt Thou cause that all things may be done to Thy glory in our midst. And may our Lord Jesus Christ receive honor as we praise Thee through Him, in whose name alone we pray. Amen. We worship the Lord now in the giving of our offerings. The first offering is for the general fund, and the second is for benevolence. Psalter number 35, Another versification of Psalm 18. We'll sing the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6, the first three and the last of 35. Turn in God's Word this morning to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Psalm 18. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drove me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leapt over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them, that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. This is the word of our God, holy and inspired. May he bless it to our hearts this morning. Our text is verses 20 through 24. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, this was a psalm of David after the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies round about. And that itself is quite something, that David was given rest from all of his enemies round about, because David's whole life was spent in the midst of those enemies. His whole life was spent fighting against those enemies or fleeing from those enemies. He had to flee from Saul before even David was made king. And when he became king, he had to fight against the Philistines, who were numerous and who constantly raided Israel. He had to fight against the other enemies round about. He had to fight against even those of his own household who betrayed him. King David was constantly surrounded by enemies, constantly in danger of being subject to their hatred and their cruelty and overthrow by them. And he confesses in this psalm, "They were too strong for me." And he confesses, "The terrors of hell get hold upon me." David was afraid. But David was delivered by Jehovah from all of his enemies, so that David could say, having been delivered from them all, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." And as David continues to sing this song of praise to God for his deliverance, he makes mention in the middle of the psalm, in the words of our text, a very remarkable thing. And what he says in our text is that this deliverance that the Lord has given to me, He gave me as my recompense, as my reward, and He gave me this deliverance as my recompense and my reward for my righteousness and for the cleanness of my hands and for my obedience to His law and to His statutes. The Lord gave all of this deliverance to me according to the cleanness of my hands. That's remarkable. In fact, when we read through that, we wonder how David could say such a thing. And then when we come to sing that, we wonder if we're allowed to sing such a thing. "For good the Lord rewarded me because I kept His ways aright." But that was the inspired song of David, and that is the comforting truth of David's deliverance too. He was delivered because of His righteousness, and He was delivered because of the cleanness of His hands. And that's such a comfort to the church, because the church recognizes the one singing there is your Lord and your Savior. That's who's singing of deliverance according to the cleanness of His hands and according to His righteousness, and because He kept the ways of the Lord aright. And the one who was given that deliverance by God because of His own righteousness has done that for you, for me, and for our children, and our children's children. For all that righteousness of our Savior has been imputed to all of His own. And therefore we take comfort in this song of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning as we consider it under the theme, "Recompensed according to my righteousness." In the first place, consider my clean hands. In the second place, consider my just reward. And in the third place, consider my divine vindication. Recompensed according to my righteousness, my clean hands, my just reward, and my divine vindication. The doctrine that the text before us teaches is the doctrine of the reward of righteousness. That is, David sings of the reward and the recompense that God gave to him because of righteousness, because of His clean hands, and on the basis of His clean hands. The text says that there is a reward, and it says there is a recompense. And we find that that reward and recompense is that David was delivered. We see that, for example, in verse 19, "He brought me forth also into a large place, with all of the enemy surrounding me, with all of the hatred of the foe raining down upon me. In my fear I cried unto Jehovah, and He heard me, and He set me in a large place." That's the reward, that's the recompense, it's deliverance from all the enemy. And the reason for that reward is the cleanness of David's hands. The basis for that reward is the obedience to the law of God. "I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness." This is the reward of righteousness. What the text is teaching here is not the reward of grace. There is such a reward. The reward of grace. Our confessions speak of it in Belgic Confession Article 24 and Lord's Day 24. There is a reward of grace. A reward that God gives to us that is entirely unmerited. A reward that is entirely unearned by us. A reward that is entirely gracious. There is such a thing as the reward of grace. The text before us is not teaching the reward of grace. It is teaching the reward of righteousness. My hands are clean. Therefore, the Lord hath recompensed me and rewarded me according to my righteousness. And the text itself insists on it. However, now this reward of righteousness must be explained. The text insists on it that this is a reward of righteousness. Verse 20, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness." And verse 20, "According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me." And then if someone asks, but does "according to" necessarily mean here "because of"? Because "according to" does not always mean "because of." And there are some places in the Bible where "according to" definitely does not mean "because of." Then the answer to that is, in verses 21 and 22, that the word "for" definitely means "because of." "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." For this reason of my keeping the ways of God, He has recompensed me according to my righteousness. And verse 22, "For all His judgments were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me." For the reason of His judgments being before me, which I did not put away, but kept His law, for that reason He hath recompensed me according to the cleanness of my hands. Verse 23, "I was also upright before Him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore, on the basis of all what has come before, on the basis of that obedience, therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands." In His eyesight, and that tells us that we are standing in that place where Jehovah God with His eyes looks upon us. Where Jehovah God looks upon the one who's singing here and sees in that one singing cleanness of hands. And because Jehovah sees cleanness of hands in that one who is singing, Jehovah rewards him according to the cleanness of his hands. And recompenses him according to his righteousness. This is not the reward of grace that is being described here, but the reward of righteousness. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Who is singing? Who can it be who can sing of a reward of righteousness for himself? Only the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who's singing here. These are the words of Jesus' song, so that it is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes these sounds. And it is the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ that pronounces these words. Jesus sings, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness." And that means, too, that it is Jesus who says the words of our theme, "Recompensed according to my righteousness." And it is Jesus who says the words of our 3 points, "My clean hands, my just reward, my divine vindication." Jesus is the one who sings this. He does that now. The Lord Jesus Christ sings that now, having gone to the cross to cover His people's sin, and having been raised from the dead the 3rd day and ascended into heaven and sitting at the right hand of God, the Lord Jesus Christ sings this song. What it must be to hear Jesus Christ in heaven sing this text. "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me." To hear Jesus with His powerful voice, a voice that sounds like the voice of the ocean crashing against the shore, the noise of many waters, a voice that sounds like a great multitude, so rich and powerful is that voice, a voice that sounds like a trumpet blasting forth its clear sound. With that voice, Jesus in heaven now sings, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness." And that too, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who sings this, the text insists on. It insists on that because of the content of the text itself. What mere man could ever sing of the reward of righteousness as his? What mere man could say, "For I kept the ways of the Lord and departed not from my God. Therefore God hath rewarded me according to my righteousness." The text insists on it because of the content of the text. But the text insists that Jesus is the one singing also in the context of this chapter and the whole Word of God. In verse 50, it is made explicit for us that Jesus is the one singing, "Great deliverance giveth He to His King, and showeth mercy to His anointed, to David, and to His seed forevermore." This psalm is the King's psalm. It's the anointed's psalm. It's David's psalm. It's David's seed's psalm. That's the one who's singing. And who is that King but Jesus Christ? "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." That King is Jesus Christ. And who is the anointed but the Lord Jesus Christ? And who is David, who under inspiration wrote this song and sang this song, but a type of the Lord Jesus Christ? And who is David's seed but Jesus Christ, who would sit upon His throne and reign forever and ever and build a house for David? This psalm is the psalm of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who sings it. He's the one who now, with that powerful voice in heaven, declares and sings, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness." And that's true regarding the Psalms in general, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the singer of the Psalms is the key to understanding the Psalms. And it's the key to understanding this text. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 3 declares that Jesus Christ is the singer of the Psalms. Verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And when Paul refers to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, he is not referring to the 150 psalms as psalms, and then another category of songs as hymns, and then another category of songs as spiritual songs. David is referring in these three words to the 150 psalms. Rather, Paul is referring to the 150 psalms. There were different headings over those psalms. Some of them were called psalms, some were called songs of praise or hymns, and some were called spiritual psalms. But he's talking about the psalms. And when Paul says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, he says that that is the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly. The Word of Christ. And Paul does not mean by that the psalms are inspired, like the rest of the Bible is inspired. That's true of the psalms. They are inspired. But when he calls the psalms the Word of Christ that dwells in us richly, he is saying that these psalms are Christ's own word. These are songs that Christ himself sings. So that when we come to Psalm 18, verse 20, and we sing, the Lord rewardeth me according to my righteousness. That's Jesus Christ. That's the word of the Lord. That's our Lord singing that psalm. And that text and that verse. And so it is also in Ephesians 5, a parallel passage to Colossians 3. In Ephesians 5 we read, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And there, that singing the psalms again now, is being filled with the Spirit. Well, whose Spirit? The Spirit of Jesus Christ. Whose songs these are, and who sings them, and who sends that Spirit to us to sing them. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who sings of the reward of righteousness that belongs to Him. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the singer of these songs and the singer of our text, gives these songs to us so that we may sing them with Him. And when you and I sing Psalm 18, we are singing that psalm with Jesus Christ. When we sing these words of Psalm 18, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, we are not singing that about ourselves. We're singing it, but we're not singing it about ourselves. We're singing that about the Lord Jesus Christ. But our Lord Jesus Christ gives those words that He Himself sings to us into our own mouths so that we may sing His own song with Him and sing with Him of the reward of righteousness that God has given to him. And that's honor for the Lord. That's glory for Him. For when the Lord in heaven sings that song, His church on earth echoes it and sings it with Him, so that the voice of His whole body, of all of His people, is added to His own voice as He sings that song in heaven. That's glory for Him. That's honor for Him. And in that, the Lord shows mercy to us. He shows His tenderness to His church. That He calls to His church, come sing with me. Come sing my song with me. To the glory of God and to my own honor. The Lord Jesus Christ does that, you know. He sings with His church. He's here in the church building. The reason that you and I are here is because the Lord was here first. The Lord called out to us by His Word Let Zion be assembled. And by His Spirit in our hearts, He drew us to Himself here. He abides with us here and speaks to us here and sings with us here. So that when the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ sings the Psalms of Zion, she's singing with the Lord. He doesn't say to her, come here now, and now my bride, you be quiet. You keep your mouth shut. And I'm going to sing. I'm going to put on a concert of song for you. Rather, the Lord says, come and sing with me my song to the glory of God and to my own honor. That's what happens every time the church sings the Psalms. That has implications, too, for the church's singing in worship. That as the church understands what those Psalms are, then the church desires those Psalms and is zealous for those Psalms and becomes intolerant of anything replacing those Psalms. The church will not suffer a hymn to come into her midst. That is a man-made hymn. That's not a psalm from the Word of God. Because when the church sings that hymn, and all her mouths are open, and all her voices are raising to the rafters, the Lord Jesus Christ isn't singing that song, though the church might sing it. That's not the Lord's song. It's not the Word of Christ. It's not the Word of His Spirit. And so the church will not have that hymn. The church examines her doxologies, for example. The church becomes dissatisfied with any doxology that is not a psalm. That's not the Word of Christ. He doesn't sing with the church if her doxology is not a psalm. The church becomes dissatisfied with versifications of the Psalms that are only summaries of the psalm and that are close but not quite the psalm and that are only man's interpretation of the psalm that becomes after a while intolerable to the church because when she sings a man's summary of a psalm, she's not singing the Word of Christ. And Christ isn't singing that song with her. Only the church's voices are heard. But the voice of Christ is not heard in heaven in that song. And the church becomes dissatisfied with a songbook that doesn't include every part of every psalm. That's the case with our own Psalter and this psalm, for example. Our own Psalter does not have this whole song, this whole text in it. So that most of us have never sung Psalm 18 in its entirety with the Lord Jesus Christ in church. He sings the song in heaven. We sing summaries of that song. The church becomes dissatisfied with it and eventually intolerant of it. Because she wants to sing with her Lord. She's zealous for that. She's eager for it. And when the Lord sings this glorious song of His honor in heaven before Jehovah, when the Lord calls His church together to worship Him, to worship God through Him, the church comes together, insistent that she sing the song of Christ and sing the Word of Christ. She wants to add her voice, not to something close or close enough. She wants to add her voice to her Lord and sing with Him. She wants to sing this song. This is the song that our Lord sings. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath He recompensed me. And we want to sing that song with our Lord because of what a wonderful thing it is that His hands are clean and that He is righteous. That's the heart of what He sings here. He sings of His righteousness. His righteousness. And what is the righteousness of Jesus Christ? The righteousness of Jesus Christ is that He perfectly conforms to the will and the being and the law of God. He perfectly measures up to every single thing that God has declared and said and commanded and required. God's will is love me with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Jesus Christ was righteous in that. He loved God with all His heart, mind, soul, and strength. And never once did He stray from that love. Never once did He become selfish in His life. But throughout His entire life, loved God so that even in that moment, when the wrath of God pressed out of Him the bloody sweat in the garden, the Lord Jesus Christ even then loved God and even then subjected Himself to God and said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but only if thou wilt. Thy will, thy will is what I am here to serve and to do. I have come, as it is written in the volume of the book, to do thy will, O God. The Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness is His perfect conformity to the being of God Himself and to the will of God and to the commandment of Jehovah God. And the Lord was indeed righteous all His life. He describes that righteousness as the cleanness of His hands, verse 20 and 24, according to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. The figure there is that of one who comes to do labor. And in his calling to labor, he must labor lawfully. And he must labor according to the command of Jehovah and in harmony with the command of Jehovah. And if that man in his labor departs from that command of Jehovah, that's going to be seen in his work. And it's going to be seen in his hands. His hands are going to be polluted with the filthiness of sin. His hands will not be clean with the righteousness of Jehovah. And Jesus says that His hands were clean in God's sight, verse 24. So that it's as if God said, every time the Lord did something, Jesus, show me your hands. And every time the Lord would hold up His hands, they're perfectly clean. And all of the work that He did for Jehovah, He never departed from the righteousness of Jehovah. At every moment of His life, His hands that labored on behalf of God were perfectly clean. He says in verse 21, I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. I have kept, guarded, zealously preserved the ways of God. Even when that way of God went through Pontius Pilate to Calvary and to the cross. Even when that way of God demanded that all of the sins of all of His people be placed on His shoulders who was innocent, even then He kept the ways of the Lord. And He did that surrounded by those who had no interest in the ways of the Lord, who despised the ways of the Lord, who saw the ways of the Lord as something vile, something disgusting, something for them to avoid. The Lord Jesus Christ kept zealously the ways of the Lord and became obedient, even unto death, and even the death of the cross, Philippians 2. That was the obedience of the Lord. That was His keeping of all His ways. Verse 22, for all His judgments were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. All His life, the Lord had that law of God in front of Him, right before Him. And never did He take that law and put it to the side and put it out of His mind and say, but just this once, or just this hundredth time, I'm going to disobey that law and disregard that law. Do everything I can that that law not come into my mind, lest my conscience be smitten by what I will do. The Lord Jesus Christ kept the statutes of the Lord before Him and never once put those away. Verse 23, I was also upright before Him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. And when Jesus sings about mine iniquity, He is not saying that He had sin, but He is saying that there were temptations for Him to sin, so that He was truly tempted without ever in the slightest bit succumbing to that temptation. I have kept myself from mine iniquity. I was upright before Thee, so that even when the devil came to me, and he offered me kingdom upon kingdom that could be had in some other way than righteousness, some other way than the cross, a kingdom of bread, or a kingdom of miracles, or a kingdom of all the cities of the earth, then I was upright, and I kept myself from mine iniquity, and I did not succumb to those temptations. The Lord Jesus Christ, in all His life, was perfectly obedient, perfectly upright, perfectly righteous in His life. That's what He sings of in this text. And that's what you sing of and I sing of when we sing with Him in this text. We sing of His clean hands and His righteousness. And the mercy of the Lord is that He who was righteous in Himself, and He who kept God's ways even to death, did that for your salvation and for mine. So that even though you and I are not righteous in ourselves, and are corrupt and fallen in Adam, even though our hands are filthy with all our sin and all our iniquity, all of the Lord's perfect righteousness is counted as ours. That's what the sacrament testifies this morning. It testifies that all that uncleanness which is ours by nature is washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. That His righteousness is counted as ours. So that when God says to us, let me see your hands, we hold up hands that have been washed and cleaned in the blood of Jesus Christ, and are spotless, not because we ourselves have obeyed, but because the Lord Jesus Christ has obeyed, because God counts those clean hands as ours. That's the mercy of the Lord to you who sing this song with the Lord Jesus Christ. His righteousness and His clean hands are counted as ours. The Lord was rewarded justly by Jehovah God for His clean hands. Verse 20, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. Jesus sings that His reward that He has in heaven, His deliverance from all the foes who hated Him and compassed Him about, that reward was justly given Him. It is His recompense. It is what God gave Him because of His obedience. As we read also in Philippians 2, He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every tongue should confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because of His obedience, wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name above every name. The Lord Jesus Christ has heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ has all things because of His righteousness, as the recompense for His righteousness. A reward that was eternally determined. A reward that was decreed from before the foundations of the earth. Verse 19. He delighted in me. But a reward that He has because of His work. Because of His righteousness. He deserves it. Which means it can never be taken from Him. Never. Never. He did what was required to obtain it. And God recompensed Him according to the cleanness of His hands. That recompense, which is deliverance and dominion over all things, can never be taken from Him. Which is mercy for your soul and for mine. When we consider that our own unrighteousness means that we do not deserve deliverance from the enemy or from sin, do not deserve to live with the Lord in heaven. Our own unrighteousness does not deserve it. But when you are smitten in your conscience at guilt, then you remember the song that Jesus sings in heaven. The song that He has given to you for your comfort to sing along with Him. The Lord has been recompensed for His righteousness, so that the Lord sings, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness." He sings that. And that righteousness of His, which He has given to you, can never, never be taken away. There's your comfort, there's your hope and mine in the midst of this weary, weary sojourn. And that recompense was divine vindication for our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ lived His life surrounded by the accusations and the charges of His enemies. That's what the weight of those enemies really were. The enemies were constantly charging Jesus, "You're a wicked man." It wasn't just this, that Jesus came and He preached and He did miracles and all of those enemies said, "We're not really interested. We don't really believe." And they went on their way. No, those enemies were drawn to Him. Those enemies couldn't help themselves. They had to come to Him and say about Him and all His work, "It's sin, it's wicked." They said to Him when He ate with publicans and harlots, "Look what kind of company He keeps, that's a wicked man there." They said to Him when He taught them the truth of His own death and resurrection, "This man is a Samaritan." That was the Jews' ways of saying he's a wicked man. And when He continued to teach them about His death and resurrection, they said to Him, "You have a devil." Constantly, the enemies charged Him and accused Him of being an unrighteous man and of having dirty hands before Jehovah. And then finally, when it was His time, they charged Him before Pontius Pilate with all kinds of imaginary crimes. As their final testimony, "This man is wicked, and we will not hear him." But He wasn't wicked. His hands were clean. He was a righteous man. He kept the ways of Jehovah. And when Jehovah God rewarded him according to his righteousness, that was Jehovah's testimony throughout all the ages that rings in this building today. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I'm pleased in Him. He's a righteous man. His hands are clean in my sight. That reward of the Lord is God's own testimony to His righteousness. And that testimony of Jehovah then is for your comfort and mine as well. Because in the exaltation of Jesus Christ is the testimony to all of His people and all of His church. He really is righteous. And therefore His church really is delivered from all her sin. And when the world crowds in on you, and when the accusations are flung falsely against you, you're wicked, you're ungodly, you're a Samaritan, you have a devil. When those accusations are thrown wrongly at you, and you listen, you hear your Lord sing in heaven about His own righteousness, God's testimony and recompense of that righteousness, His vindication before God, and therefore the righteousness of His church as well. What a song. What a beautiful, glorious song to sing with our Lord about Him. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word to us this morning. Bless it to our hearts. Apply it. Encourage us by it. May Thy Spirit lay it upon our hearts that we may see our Lord in all His righteousness and His just recompense that Thou hast given Him, and our righteousness therefore in Him. Hear our prayer. Forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter number 34 again. Psalter number 34. We'll sing the stanzas we have not yet, stanzas 6 through 10. Note stanza 10. As we sing with Christ, for good the Lord rewarded me because I kept His ways aright. Stanzas 6 through 10 of 34.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.